Today, I wanted to be about celebrating the fact that we are back together again, being able to worship. And I wanted it to be a time of excitement and energy and encouragement. And so that's what I'm focusing on this morning. We are in the letter to the Hebrews this morning. Letter to the Hebrews is an interesting book in that we believe, most scholarship believes, it was written by the Apostle Paul. The preponderance of evidence points to Paul, but there are some who feel that it could have been someone else. It could have been possibly Apollos who wrote the letter to the Hebrews, or even Barnabas who traveled with Paul. Could have been Barnabas. There is even some who have an idea that it could have been Priscilla from the Priscilla and Aquila couple, which would be awesome, because that would make Hebrews the only letter, the only book in the entire Bible that was written by a woman, which would be great. But, oh, one last thing. We're not going to be doing the offering, because we want to keep everybody safe. So in our little hymn suggestion box, as you leave, if you would place your offering in the black hymn suggestion box, we would appreciate that, or you can still continue to give online. Now, the preponderance of evidence, as I said as is Paul, so we're going to go with Paul, but we know, regardless of who put pen to paper, the Holy Spirit is the author of Hebrews, as is he the author of the entire scriptures. Now, Hebrews was one of, has in it a couple of my favorite verses. I know, more favorite verses from Pastor Adam, but years ago, my life verse for years was Hebrews 11:1, which I learned in the 1990 edition of the NIV, the New International Version. And it said then, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Sure of what we hope for. We are sure of our hope and salvation and entrance into heaven. And certain of what we do not see. We have not seen Jesus. We have not seen God. We have not seen the Holy Spirit. But we are certain they are real, they are true. And they did what they did and said what they said. Unlike, remember when Jesus resurrected on Easter Sunday morning and then he appeared to the apostles or to the disciples in the upper room and Thomas wasn't there the first time. So when they told Thomas Jesus was here, he said, no, I ain't buying it. Not until I see the hole marks in his hands and put my hand in his side. Jesus appears again. This time Thomas is there and he says to Thomas, "You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who believe and do not see." That's us. Blessed are those who believe but have not seen. So I loved Hebrews 11:1, being sure what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Another scripture I love from Hebrews is what we're going to talk about this morning, Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. So please join me in the unison prayer as we prepare to study the Word of God. Let us pray. Lord, upon the pages of this book is your story. It is also our story. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, our minds that we may understand, and our hearts that they may be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. "Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." May God bless to us the reading and understanding of his holy and inspired word. I love those verses out of Hebrews. Now, I don't know about you guys, but for as far back as I can remember, I have always been a Christian or believed in the Christian faith. When I was small, perhaps I didn't understand the whole thing. I mean, I didn't really understand what Jesus went to the cross for. I didn't understand my need for salvation or redemption because of my sin. There were a lot of facts about Christianity that were inaccessible to me at a young age, but I never dabbled in other faith traditions. I didn't check out Hinduism or Buddhism or Islam. It's always been Father, Son, Holy Spirit for as far back as I can remember. My brothers and I were raised in a little Catholic church down the street from our house in Brattle Street in Holden, St. George's Catholic Church. That's me and my older brother George. All right. Notice I've been wearing bow ties for a long time. We began our journey in the faith, in the Catholic tradition, and I really enjoyed what I lovingly tease as the smells and bells of their liturgy. They had a lot of visual stuff, and it was special. It made going to church a special place to be. Now, as I grew up, like a lot of people, I became less and less regular. You could definitely put me into the category of a lapsed Catholic or a lapsed Christian, because I did not attend with any sort of regularity. Occasionally, you show up for a baptism or a funeral or a wedding, maybe Christmas and Easter, but other than that, church didn't interest me. In fact, when we went to the Star of the Sea Parish in Salisbury to have Father Morgan baptize our three boys, including Jeremy, that was the first time I'd set foot in church since we got married. This wasn't something we did until 1989. Now, you guys have heard my story before, but I had an experience in 1989 where I believe God really revealed himself to me, and that's my moment of conversion, as I understand it. And that's when these verses in Hebrews began to make sense to me, or began to be planted in my spirit. See, a lot of people think that in 1989, when I had my conversion experience, that's when I got called to go into the ministry. That's not true. I was the last person I would ever think would go into the ministry, and if you knew me then, you would agree with me. That's not what happened. What happened, for some reason or another, was placed in my heart an overwhelming desire just to go to church. I wanted to be in church. So I gathered up my little family into my minivan, and my mom joined us, and we traveled around to five different churches in our area. We were living in Kittery, Maine at the time, and they were all nice, but one really stuck out to us, First Christian Church in Kittery Point, Maine, and that's where we settled. Now, if you knew, I don't really know what they're all about now, but if you knew First Christian Church then, you would have been surprised that we stayed. There was really nothing there that would attract a young family with three young boys. Everybody in the church was 60 years old or older. There was maybe one other family with young children. Being a musician, I was playing in the band still. You would think I wanted a killer choir. And I did. I didn't have it. God bless those folks, but they weren't going to make a second round on America's Got Talent by any stretch of the imagination. So what was it? There was only about 30 or 40 of them there. 30 or 40 old folks. And I met some at squat. And that's where I stay? I couldn't explain it. Just as I couldn't explain this newfound desire to be in church. But as I grew in my faith, and I can look back now, I can articulate it. The Holy Spirit was there. Didn't matter about the age. Didn't matter about the number. God was there. He was present. And those people fell in love with us. We fell in love with them. They became our friends. We used to travel to rural Maine church supper circuit. See, in rural Maine, little churches put on suppers once a week, or once a month. And one church would do the first Monday, one church would do the first Tuesday, one church would do the first Wednesday. You could literally go out to eat 5 days a week at churches. And so we did with our new friends, Wallace and Althea Patch. Now, just by the names, I hope you can understand, these weren't our peers. Nobody names their kids Wallace and Althea today. These folks were in their 70s. We loved them. They loved us. And we'd travel around to the bean supper and the pork suppers and the roast beef suppers. And that church nurtured us, nurtured me, loved me and my family. And I began to understand, that's why I go. That's why I'm there. This overwhelming desire did not leave during the week. I had to be in church on Sunday. If I wasn't, the rest of the week was just a little off for me. I didn't feel right. When we went camping, which we did a lot, we had a pop-up camper, we'd go camping somewhere in New England, we'd set up camp on Friday night, Saturday we'd do all our stuff. At some point on Saturday, I'd have to jump in the van and find a local church so that on Sunday morning I could get up and go to church. And I would. I'd get up and go to church, then I'd go back to the campsite and we'd pack up and we'd go home. I had to be in church. I wanted to be in church. I couldn't explain it. I needed to be there. That's why I have missed this so much. Yes, being online is great, and I thank God, as Donna said, for the technology, so we're able to still connect. But there's nothing like this. This is so special. And it doesn't matter the number. I know there are some folks here who still do not feel comfortable yet coming out, and that's fine. They'll be watching us online on our website. But no matter the number doesn't matter. When the Holy Spirit is present, it's awesome. Whether it's 40 or 4,000. I know some people who often say, well, I couldn't worship with a large church with thousands of people in it. I would get lost in the crowd. It just wouldn't be the same. I beg to differ. The very first time we went to a conference in Boston, the Heinz Convention Center, there were 5,000 people packed in this auditorium. We were watching, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir lead worship and some really amazing pastors preaching. It was electric. I didn't get lost in the crowd. I was encouraged. I was enthused by the fact that there were 4,999 other people who think like me, who believe in Jesus. And that's not a common thing in a world that doesn't always receive that kind of message. So you're with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, and it was awesome. In fact, just a few years ago, we took some folks from here. We drove down to Madison Square Garden in New York City to see Joel Osteen and the Lakewood Church worship team. 20,000 people in Madison Square Garden. It was amazing. Whether it's 40 or 5,000 or 20,000, when you are meeting together with brothers and sisters in Christ, it is special. It is awesome. That's why I've missed it so deeply. To be in the room with people who are holding tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm is encouraging. In verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's the other thing that happens here. When the Holy Spirit is present, it motivates us to acts of good works and love. I didn't come up with Sparrow Ministry. That was Ryan and Matt and Ricky who called me up and say, hey, can we put some griddles out on Main Street and cook egg sandwiches for people who are hungry? Absolutely. Together, as a church, as a team, we were motivated to acts of love and good works. It has blossomed into an incredible ministry that hopefully will be reopening again soon. We're having some meetings about that. That's what happens when the church gathers, when the church meets together. Stuff like that happens. We motivate one another to acts of love and good works. In fact, if you go to a conference or a religious gathering at Madison Square Garden, oftentimes you will find, for lack of a better word, vendors, right? They set up tables, little booths. They can sell T-shirts, or they can sell Bibles, or the latest Bible study program, or Sunday school curriculum. Oftentimes, there's a table. You know, you always see World Vision. Set up a table where you can sponsor children somewhere in the world who need somebody to love on them, who need somebody to care, who need somebody to pray for. They match you up. In fact, that's what happened right here to us. When we had the Imani Malele Ugandan Children's Choir here a few years ago, they set up a booth in the lobby, and that's where Renee and I fell in love with our Ugandan daughter, Sauda Nala, who we continue to support and love on, and you know, got a Bible for her. She's one of the few people in her village that has a Bible of her own, and she got a dress for Christmas and some food and stuff for her family in the background. Why did that happen? Because I was meeting together with the body of Christ, and I was motivated to an act of love and good works. That's what we do when we're together. That's what happens when we're together. You can't explain it. It just happens because where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is in our midst. So 8 years after being nurtured and loved and encouraged at First Christian, God then puts a call on my life to go into ministry. So I head up to Bangor Theological Seminary to get my training. And I spend 5 years working on my Master's of Divinity degree. And at the same time, I'm hired at the East Orrington Congregational Church now, first as a youth pastor, then as the associate pastor, and eventually took over for the retiring minister as the senior pastor. And those people, too, loved on me and my family, just like First Christian did. Those people, too, I wanted to meet together with on Sunday. Those people, too, motivated me to acts of love and good works. Those people, too, were devastated when we left to come here 9 years later. And I'm 3 for 3, folks. First Christian, East Orrington, South Congregational Church. I have a family here. We have a family here. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have loved me and my family. You have encouraged me. You have motivated me to good works and acts of love. That's what a church family is for. When any one of us is struggling, there are brothers and sisters ready and willing at the drop of a hat to respond. That's what a church family is all about. That's what happens naturally. You can't explain it because the Holy Spirit is moving through us. That's what happens when we meet together. Through all of this, through all of my experience, through 31 years after being saved, verse 25 has never faded for me. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. I don't come to church out of a sense of obligation or duty or requirement. I don't even come because I'm on the payroll. I mean, I understand I got to be here. But this is how I felt when I stepped inside First Christian Church in 1989. I come here because I want to be here. I come here to worship God in whom my hope is affirmed with my brothers and sisters of all ages. We worship God together. But people who believe that his he can trust him to keep his promises. I come to worship God, but I come to be with you. And I pray that you come to be with God and each other as well. You motivate me to acts of love and good works. You encourage me and my wife and my family. We do that for one another. Especially watching out for each other in times that are challenging and difficult. We circled around Carlos and Jacinia when they had their fire. We're there when people are walking through difficult times. I know I can count on you. And I pray you know you can count on me and you can count on the person sitting respectfully 6 feet away from you. That's what a church family is about. That's why I was so excited to be with you again, because there are some difficult times right now. We need to be there for each other. We need to be able to share with one another, to learn from each other, to listen to each other. Not to judge and condemn, but to love and forgive and motivate to acts of good works. I'm so happy to be here because I know I can count on my brothers and sisters in Christ to walk with me through whatever it is I am facing, to pray with me and for me. And I hope that you feel the same about every single person in this room. That's why I was so happy to be reopening. Now, as I said, I understand there are some who are not here, and they are no less important to us. And they are meeting with us through technology online. But there was just, it's just something about being together. Let us thank God for this opportunity to be together. Let us praise him in song, lift up our voices in prayer, listen to his word read and the Spirit speak through the message. Let us not neglect our meeting together. You will be blessed, and you will be a blessing to someone else. Believe me, you won't even be able to stop yourself. You can't help it. Because when you encounter the Holy Spirit, you're not in charge anymore. He's leading. He's guiding. You're following. And that's what we need more of in this country right now. The Holy Spirit leading, the Holy Spirit guiding, and us shutting up and following. So let's continue to meet together, to encourage one another, to love on each other, to forgive our shortcomings, to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. I so look forward to seeing you again next Sunday and the Sunday after that until Jesus comes back. Would you stand and pray with me?